I'd like to start by introducing myself. My name is Melanie and I have been attending this church for about 8 months now with my three children. I'm also married to my dear husband Peter. When I was 14, I was baptised, so this is not my first time doing this. However, I have battled with my salvation since my early 20s and wondered if my first baptism counted. I have been battling with this for 10 years until recently when I started a course here at the church called A to Z of Christian Growth. The reason for my baptism today is because I don't remember a moment before I was baptised that I surrendered my life to Christ or asked for forgiveness of my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ. I grew up thinking and calling myself a Christian from a young age, up until I was a young mother myself. My family went to church on Sundays, I went to Sunday school, and I attended a Christian school for some time. Eventually, by the age of 8 or 9, I ended up in a public education system. The public system was very different to private Christian education, and so were the kids. My home life wasn't great either. I saw my dad call himself a Christian, but he lived like an unbeliever, so I didn't grow up with a godly father to protect me or to guide me. In fact, it was quite the opposite. I know my mother tried her best to keep us children on the right track with God. But as I saw my mother try to hold it together, eventually the cracks were beginning to show as she herself was battling with depression. A worldly public school with only small bits of Christian input at home, eventually the world helped mould me into something I knew that God did not want for me. My mum did try to help me understand faith over the years, but many times I turned down her advice and would choose not to listen. My heart was hardened towards God and my eyes were blind to his truth. Eventually, my parents divorced, and over the years, we moved homes, schools, and churches. I called myself a Christian, but showed nothing for it. I had never surrendered my life to God and wasn't reading the Bible much. We started going to another church for a while, and I sort of liked it. I attended the youth group on and off, but I eventually didn't form any foundations there. I remember we moved to the country just before I started year 8. And we were going to a new church as our old church was too far away. I remember this church being different than the last one, but I don't recall why. Something in the sermon at this new church must have impacted me because I ended up getting baptised at 14. I don't recall why I was baptised, whether I did it because others did or I thought you had to get baptised to get to heaven. To be completely honest, I don't remember. But I always wonder if maybe it was because I thought baptism would save me or get me to heaven. I do remember the thought of going to hell always scared me, and God's wrath was something I didn't want, and it was something I had to escape if I could. After starting high school, life changed. I was maturing as a young lady, and sin looked enticing. At first, I knew it was wrong, but after a while, my flesh gave in. I fell captive to sin, profanity, drinking, drugs, fornication, smoking, hanging out with the wrong people. I wasn't strong enough to say no to sin. And eventually I didn't seem to care anymore about my life. I ended up dropping out of school in year 11, and the next few years were my hardest. I found out that I was pregnant at age 17. Unmarried, with no plans and no faith, I knew something had to change. I always wanted to be a mum since I was little. I remember I even went to Korea Day as a little girl, dressed up as a housewife and mother. But little did I know the enormity of what I had gotten myself into and the responsibility I now had, not only for me but for my child. I had a deep understanding that I may have ruined or wasted the start of my life, but I won't do that to my child. I eventually got married at age 19 and I had my first child who was 2 and a half. My relationship and my first marriage at the time was toxic even to begin with, but I was determined to make it work for my son. My husband at that time was using drugs and alcohol, and he was abusive towards me and my family mentally, financially, and eventually it got physical. After 8 years of being in that sort of relationship, I broke. I'd had enough, and I needed to protect my children. By this stage, I had two. It was no longer just about me. So I filed for divorce at 23. Over the years, I had started going back to church on and off. Unfortunately, I didn't understand at that time that my heart had to be right with God first. I still don't recall repenting for my sins or being saved. I just attended church because I knew that that was the sort of life I wanted to live, and I felt happy there. Soon after my divorce, about 1.5 years later, I met and married my current husband, Peter, who I met at church. We attended church most weeks and considered ourselves part of the church. I still believe myself to be a Christian and follower of God, not even considering my salvation. I had on and off over the years questioned my baptism, but never got any comfort in the answers I got from the questions I asked. The church I was in hardly spoke about salvation or sin at length for me to understand that I might be unsaved or that I might need salvation. My husband and I have been married for 7 years, and for me, I know that I've been floating along in a church with no conviction of sin, repentance or separation from the world. I had no idea that the way I was living was wrong or that I needed salvation. I was a lazy Christian. I wasn't reading my Bible a whole lot, and I wasn't growing or maturing, and I was unaware that I was on the way to hell without even realising it. One day this year, January 2022, I came across a clip on YouTube. It was titled, "Our Church No Longer Worships to Hillsong or Bethel." It caught my attention, so I opened it. Well, I don't think I knew what I was getting myself into. I was straight away convicted to stop listening to it. I knew I couldn't go back to my church until I understood this more. This music was all our church had sung, and I'd been singing it for years. I couldn't sing those sorts of songs to a holy God. I understood that I was being disobedient by ignoring this warning from some man that I didn't know. I started looking around online for a church we could go to, as I knew I couldn't sing that music anymore. But I also had no idea what sort of things I should have been looking for in a church. I wasn't even aware that the Bible had something to say about how the church should look. While searching, I found a church, but the review spoke of talking in tongues in the service. I had never understood tongue talking. It always made me feel uncomfortable. I remember being told by my mum to stay away from it, but I didn't understand why. I reached out to my brother and asked him what he thought on the matter of tongues was. He showed me exactly from in the Bible and helped me understand that it was a gift given to the apostles, and talking in tongues meant languages, not random babbles. I had many more weeks of anxiety and worry, doubt and frustration, and so many emotions I could hardly cope. I then learned about women preachers again through my search for a church, and again my brother showed me in the Bible why God disapproves of that and to avoid a church who had them preaching. I was given a map of a few churches in Adelaide where I could find fundamental Bible-based believing churches, so I started visiting them one by one closest to me. During this time of searching for a church, I was having battles in my mind and heart. I was battling with anxiety and spent days sometimes crying so hard I worried so much that I made myself sick. I wasn't sleeping, I had to take time off work, and I couldn't focus or even eat. My husband and I had tried a church near us. I didn't like the sound of it, as I knew that they had women pastors, but on the day that we went, they weren't preaching, so I convinced myself that it would be fine. Well, the whole time I was there, I felt so uncomfortable to my core, I couldn't wait to get out. I believe this was the Holy Spirit prompting me. I remember one day back in April or March, I cried my heart out to God on my knees, asking for help. Tears streaming down my face, asking for him to save me, crying out for forgiveness and to help me to find a church and to help me to see the truth. My brother had prayed with me after this and shared some scripture with me to help me focus on God's sovereignty, which led me to cry out again. I asked for the peace that surpasses all understanding and for God to clothe me in the whole armour of God. The devil was trying to pull me down from the moment I had accepted Christ. Even though I didn't fully understand this, I kept praying this every day. One week in March, I came here to Northside Baptist. I remember sitting in the back, trying to stay out of sight. Pastor Simeon was preaching that day, and I hadn't listened to any sermons online, so I had no idea what to expect. The way he preached was like something I'd never heard of before. I was soaking in every word. It was convicting, soul-piercing, straight out of the Bible, biblical teaching. It was as if God was speaking straight to me. Near the end of the service, there was a call put out in prayer that if anyone in the room who thought they were not saved was to raise their hand, asked to, and not leave without knowing. I was so thirsty for God's words. I was so desperately needed to know that if I was saved. So I raised my hand so fast and prayed that prayer again. I struggled with assurance for months. I still don't think that Jesus had saved me. After all, I was still stressed, and there were many changes in a short period of time. During the prophecy conference in July, Brother Ryan McGrath was preaching, and he said, "If you're not sure about your salvation, please don't leave here tonight and come and see me." After he finished preaching, my heart was so stirred up. I was still confused. I went out to the toilet and I prayed the prayer again and asked God to save me. Then I worked up the courage to go and talk to Brother Ryan. It was very out of my comfort zone, but so was all of this. Pastor Simeon saw me go over there and he joined us, and they both prayed with me and offered me some advice. And that was when Pastor Simeon gave me the study of assurance on salvation. I now know with assurance that I am saved, and I understand that my salvation is not based on my feelings, but on the word of God. And there is nothing that I can do to attain salvation, but only what Christ has done for me, and that it was settled on the cross. I know I am a sinner, and I know that I can do no good. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." I deserve death and God's wrath, but God is a gracious God, a loving God, and a merciful God. He loved me so much that he sent his very own son, Jesus Christ, to die for me so that I could live. You see, I was dead in my transgressions, but now Christ lives in me through repentance and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lastly, I would like to acknowledge my intense gratefulness and thankfulness to God for opening my eyes to the truth that I could not see. I thank God for leading me to this church and to biblical teaching. I am extremely thankful for God's mercy and grace towards me. I'm so thankful that God works in ways far beyond our imagination, even when we don't feel him working. I am forever thankful to God and give him the praise and the glory for all my heart in giving me his son, Jesus Christ. For this, I owe him my life. I'm so thankful beyond words to everyone who has prayed for me, befriended me, offered me scripture or advice in hard times. You may not be aware of the impact this has had on me and my family. Thank you to Pastor Simeon and Sister Kate and family for the many hours behind the scenes helping me, guiding me, praying for me and sharing Bible verses when I was at my peak of anxiety points. Thank you to Pastor Dan for helping me and my children out in difficult times, and thank you, Sister Beck and family, for sharing him with us when we needed guidance. Thank you, Church, for all your prayers, and thank you for the studies that have been prepared for people like me to understand and learn more about who God is and how to live a Christian life, and most of all, have assurance of salvation. My journey has just begun. I've written down a few Bible verses, and I would like to share that have given me strength during my journey this far, that have given me assurance and hope. John 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no means wise cast out." Titus 1, verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:17, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." 1 John 5:11-12, "And this is the record that God hath given us to eternal life, and this is the life of his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So today I'm here to declare that Jesus is my Lord and Saviour, and I am joyed to be getting baptised and share with you the love I have for Jesus Christ. Amen.